Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon Central Time, and there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. It's great to have you along. Our program today is going to center on NBDs, neurobiological diagnosis. We're going to start out talking a bit about autism and then spend the remainder of our time focusing on ADD, attention deficit disorder, and hearing from Dr. Daniel Amen. First, let me welcome back to Connecting Faith Mary Wangerin. Mary is a businesswoman, a wife, a support group leader, an advocate on behalf of families with children diagnosed with autism and other neurobiological diagnoses, and we've always enjoyed our visits with Mary in the past. Welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me with you, Neil. I'm very excited.
I wanted to start out the program by talking with you a little bit about April, Autism Awareness Month. Are we becoming a little more aware, do you think, in general of these neurobiological diagnoses?
I think definitely we as, or they as in professionals, your psychologists, your physicians, psychiatrists, I think that on the whole, everybody's getting more and more familiar with autism. There's lots of debates going on and off in terms of, you know, the terminology and whatnot, but it's still there. The characteristics are still there. And I think it's great because more and more people like you and I are starting to really get a handle on it maybe and understanding it. Some people feel that it's not as important to maybe focus on it because it may not be in their lives, but we're finding more and more, these kids are being diagnosed more and more that everybody needs to have some knowledge of what it's all about, the characteristics, and how to work with these kids.
Well, let me ask you, because you brought that up, more diagnoses, or just a report out not too long ago that an increasing number of kids being diagnosed. Does that just mean that we're better at diagnosis, or what's your reaction to that?
I think one of the things that we're finding out is that, yes, I think that because people are very much aware of the characteristics that go along with the different diagnoses, that it's allowing people to, parents are seeing it. It's not as scary. I shouldn't say that. But, 20 years ago, a child having a diagnosis of ADD was very scary for the parent because the negative reputation that went along with it. But because people are getting more of a handle on it, parents are seeing it, teachers are seeing it, social workers, physicians, teachers, everybody. And what it's doing now is it's making, it's having people feeling really comfortable and going to the professionals and having their child diagnosed. Another thing that we're finding, though, is also a lot older kids are getting diagnosed now. It's not so much the little ones now. We're finding that children, after they graduate from high school and are going on to college, that whole new environment where they basically, I hate to say it, but their support system basically falls out of the bottom because now they're living on campus. They're not living at home. All those comforts and routines have all been changed. And a lot of the characteristics are really coming out. And we're finding that more kids are getting diagnosed. My daughter is at her college. She goes out to West Virginia. And she is on a medication, but it's very difficult because the physicians here don't want to prescribe it here when she's living in West Virginia. It's just a problem with the prescriptions. And so the school has these programs for the kids to come in, and they want to reevaluate. In the fall of this year, we called for an appointment for her so she could get evaluated and get a routine out there. And she could not get an appointment until this month, April. That's how many people are looking at the diagnosis.
I guess the good news is that there are new advances in treatment.
Yeah.
But maybe just some of your thoughts on that. I mean, you mentioned sort of the routine. I mean, that still is as important as anything, isn't it?
Absolutely. For parents that choose not to do medication, some people think that medication is a quick fix, and it's really not. But every family has its own choices, and I think it's really important to recognize that. But yes, absolutely. Routine is the number one success in any child's dealing with any of the neurobiological diagnosis, because they know what's going to be coming next. That's the biggest thing. When these kids inside their brains, I always describe it, they're like an Apple computer, and the rest of us are IBM computers, and our software doesn't fit into their hardware. Some it can be adapted, and that's what we need to do. But the routine is the biggest thing, because children with diagnosis don't like to have things sprung on them, and this routine is always going to be the same. That's why it's so huge. It's very important. But another thing that's very, very important, and they're finding more and more, are the gluten-free diets and the lactose intolerance type stuff. A lot of people have found, there's been studies on it, that even without medication, by having that structured routine, as well as having the diet that is specific for the child, can be amazingly successful.
You mentioned, maybe just to kind of back up a bit, you talked about the neurobiological diagnosis. I know we've talked in the past about, you kind of have a circle of, there are several that are sort of within the sphere, I guess, or related to each other.
Absolutely. The one thing, and that I know you speak about, is I do not have a degree. I don't have a master's. I don't have a PhD. I just have a degree in what I call mammalogy. But through my experiences and through the years that I've discovered is, in my heart, I do not believe that there is any pure diagnosis. And that Olympic ring that we talked about, as we just got over the Olympics, everybody can envision what that looks like. But where the two circles or three circles or four circles, where they touch on, a lot of times that's where a child will be. So they may have a primary diagnosis, like my son with the Asperger's, but he also shows characteristics of ADD as well as obsessive compulsive disorder. So even though we talk about ADHD, we're also talking about all the other things all the other characteristics of possibly something else being there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to talk more specifically about attention deficit, ADD, in a few minutes with Dr. Amen. But Mary Weingren, my guest today, who is, she said, has a degree in mammalogy. She's a businesswoman and a support group leader and advocate on behalf of families with children diagnosed with autism or other neurobiological diagnosis. And Mary, I do want to talk about, we've talked in the past, but I know you've seen changes taking place in schools and churches, but maybe still not enough. What are some areas, I mean, schools, it seems like, are trying to be more maybe inclusive and more special ed things, maybe that's good or bad, but say a word about churches particularly. How are they responding to, I guess, more and more kids and young adults with these diagnoses?
You know, that's a really great question. That's a huge passion of mine. I believe that they are getting more inclusive. They understand that what the diagnoses are. But the hard part, and I have to admit, there's really nothing out there. And if somebody knows of something, I'd love it if they called in and shared it. But sometimes churches are afraid because they think that what they've got is, you know, they've already got a Sunday school program or they've got a confirmation program that's already established. Is this going to be an additional work? Are we going to have to rewrite it? Are we going to need additional space? What is it that we're going to have to do? And sometimes it's scary. Unless you have somebody, and there's always volunteers, you know, that are willing to help. But what one ends up doing, like in the case of my son, we ended up doing a program on our own. He still continued to participate in the confirmation activities, but he didn't participate in the actual group because at our church we have a very huge confirmation, and I think this is true for a lot of confirmations. There's that great music, that great Christian rock music, but it's not conducive to kids that can't handle that kind of noise, that kind of energy. They can't, what I call, come down from their highs. As a matter of fact, two women that I work very closely with, they are both autism specialists, and they are masters in psychology. One of them teaches confirmation for her daughter and has found that there's a few kids that are not functioning well in the confirmation program. She's brought her partner in, who is also an autism specialist and a psychologist, to work with these kids and develop something so that they can have a substantial confirmation experience. The problem that I have found, Neil, is that when I ran my support group, which was at my church, the parents, when we would survey them to find out who participated in Sunday school, and at that time, George was at the confirmation level, and I would say that 95% of the parents did not participate because they felt that when they went to church, their children were looked upon as different because they couldn't sit through a service without talking. These kids don't necessarily know how to whisper. So they feel like everybody around them is looking. The Sunday school, you're dealing with volunteers, and with the volunteer program doesn't always come the education. So where you are seeing, hopefully, churches grabbing onto this is not necessarily designing a new curriculum, but even if they could just educate the volunteers on how to work with these kids, that just because they're not looking at you doesn't mean that they're not listening. If these kids need to doodle or to fidget with something, let them. If the kids need to get up and walk around, just know and understand they can listen better than you and I could doing those things because they're wired that way.
Before our time is gone, I want to invite you to say a word to maybe parents listening today who are just probably feeling a little overstressed and tend to pull back. They're not maybe plugged in like they want to in their church or, whatever it is, the community, just because, they're dealing with, 24/7 caring for kids.
Oh, absolutely. I would say, first of all, you're not alone. I think that's the biggest thing that parents feel. I have felt it. I have parents who continuously tell me that they feel like they're alone. They're on an island. You're not alone. There's all kinds of neat websites out there to turn to. There's a new one that I found. It's called autism-society.org. It talks about like the Autism Awareness Month that we're in right now, but they've also got a lot of neat things with support. Most of your websites have different things for support. Also educational piece, conferences, different activities that are going on. Particularly this month, it's worth looking into because there's going to be stuff everywhere, no matter, if you're in North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, throughout the country, everybody's recognizing the autism awareness. And again, along with the autism awareness, you're going to get snippets of stuff on ADD, and you're going to get stuff on the Asperger stuff, the oppositional defiance, all that NBD stuff is out there. So I definitely would say looking at different websites, like I said, this autism-society.org. There's an awesome website, too, out there. It's called medicalnewstoday.com. A lot of stuff about ADD, where it's going, where the education and where the support is going. You can also get on emails or different groups that will email you different things monthly or weekly. And one of the things that I find amazing is, here it is. There's one called the Center for Engaging Autism. Now, this organization is here in Minnesota, but they have an amazing website. But they can even just talk to you if you can't. We all have busy lives and we can't always get involved, locally. But they have great articles in their website.
Good advice. Our time goes by too quickly, but but there's, good resources available, and we'll do some links on our website as well. But Mary, always good to visit with you.
Thank you, Neil. I get so passionate and excited, I don't even let you have a word in edgewise.
That's just fine. Mary Wangren, she has a degree in momology, a businesswoman, a wife support group leader, and advocate on behalf of families with children diagnosed with autism and other neurobiological diagnoses, and talking with us today here on Connecting Faith. Coming up in a moment, we'll focus on the diagnosis of attention deficit disorder, ADD, and talk about a new book called Healing ADD with Dr. Daniel Amen, just ahead.
Give a gift, change a life. It really is that simple. Hi, I'm Dick Whitworth, General Manager of Faith Radio. Your ongoing monthly support keeps Faith Radio on the air and growing. Every day, listeners are impacted, changed, and helped because of the relevant Bible preaching and family-focused teaching that your support provides. Won't you join us Tuesday, April 8th for our spring pledge drive known as Share? Your help is needed and appreciated. Thank you, and God bless you. Hi, I'm Dick Whitworth, General Manager of Faith Radio. You and I both know that living for Jesus is a lifelong journey. And we're committed to helping you connect faith to life with access when you need it. And to help you keep your faith strong throughout the day, we'd like to send you a Live by Faith wristband. It's free. Wear it each day as a reminder that you're on a journey of faith. If you would like your free wristband, visit myfaithradio.com to request yours. We'll get it out to you as soon as possible.
Well, it is an honor to welcome back Dr. Daniel Amen back to Connecting Faith. We had the opportunity to talk with him a few months ago as we talked about one of the books that he's co-wrote with Rick Warren, talking about the Daniel Plan. We had a great discussion about that. But he's also written a new book just out. In fact, he's written a number of books. But the new one we want to talk about is the new revised edition of Healing ADD, the breakthrough program that allows you to see and heal the seven types of ADD. And let me introduce Dr. Amen to us again, a physician, double board certified psychiatrist, teacher, and 8 times New York best-selling author, and widely regarded as one of the world's foremost experts on applying brain imaging science to everyday clinical practice. And he has clinics, Amen Clinics, not only in California, but in Washington and Virginia and Atlanta and New York City, and has been featured on a number of media outlets. In fact, has a new public TV special that'll be around here over the next few months, and has authored some over 30 books. And we are grateful to have him on to talk about this concern and the interest of his. Dr. Amen, welcome back to Connecting Faith, first of all.
Thanks, Neil. What a pleasure to talk to you again.
You know, in the opening of the book, you suggest that ADD is maybe not over-diagnosed, but it's maybe much wider than we realize, and it just isn't about hyperactive boys. So schoolboys, maybe we can just explain, we know the term, we think we know the term, but let's start with some definitions.
So attention deficit, or what a lot of people refer to as attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, is not new. It's been around for centuries and probably longer. It's a cluster that I think of as 5 major symptoms: short attention span, distractibility, disorganization, procrastination, and problems with impulse control. And it's not just something that shows up after you've had a bad night's sleep. It's something that you can see evidence of really throughout a person's life. And it can devastate a person's life. People diagnosed with ADD have like 5 times the risk of dropping out of school. There's a higher risk of incarceration, divorce, job changes, financial failure, even obesity and Alzheimer's disease. A lot of people downplay it like it's no big deal, but left untreated, it can devastate a person's life. Probably about 10% of the population has it, and it goes underdiagnosed in girls because there are different societal expectations for girls than there are for boys. And it tends to be underdiagnosed in people who do not have the hyperactive type. That's why I really hate the term ADHD. It was initially ADD, attention deficit disorder, and I don't think that's a great term either. But when they added the H part, well, half the people who have it are never hyperactive. And so that diagnosis sort of discarded millions of people. Most doctors are quick when they diagnose it to put people on stimulant medications. The problem is stimulants like Ritalin or Adderall really do help some people. I mean, it can be like a miracle. And for other people, it makes them worse. So what we've done at the Amen Clinics is we've been looking at the brains of people who have ADD for over 2 decades. And what we saw right away is it wasn't one thing. And in Healing ADD, I talk about it's 7 different things. And if you know someone's type of ADD, you are much more likely to help them effectively than thinking of it as a one-size-fits-all treatment, which is why Ritalin has a bad reputation. even though for the right person, it's a life-saving drug.
You know, before we talk about some of those seven different aspects or, versions perhaps of ADD, I know that early on you talk about, kind of your personal experience, but I'm thinking that maybe to tie that in, you address the impact on families and how it stresses parents in particular. And I'd just be interested in you talking about that, how we hear about it, but unless we're in the middle of it, we probably don't realize how really life-changing this is.
Just listening to you say that, it's traumatized me. I know more about ADD than I want to know. Several of my kids have it. Their biological mother has it. You can see it through her family. And, I grew up in a big family. I have five sisters and a brother, and we were fairly structured and organized. And, my mom, even though she had seven kids, was always on time picking us up. And so when I realized I was living in an ADD family, I was doing my child psychiatry training program. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, that's why it's chronically stressful. Because people who have ADD often play this game called let's have a problem. In fact, there's a whole chapter in the book, Healing ADD, on the games ADD people play. For example, when Caitlin, one of my daughters with ADD, was 2 years old, she used to always try to get her brother's goat. I mean, she would, run up to him, kick him, and run away laughing. And if he didn't go chase her, she would go and kick him again. And I'm looking at her going, why are you doing this? I mean, how does that make sense? But as I explain in the book, people with ADD have often low activity in the front part of their brain. So they really become masterful at finding ways to turn it on. And you have to ask yourself, why does stimulants like Riddle, why would they calm down a hyperactive child? Because they stimulate the brain, and the brain calms them down. But without appropriate help, they're always sort of stirring the pot and getting other people upset. And I would go, wow, why is this happening? And the level of stress on the non-ADD people like me, it's you just never know when something dumb or bad is going to happen. You can go on vacation and expect, okay, we're going to have a nice, lovely, relaxing time, and whatever little thing can set them off. And then all of a sudden, there's this whirlwind of being upset that never goes away. And when you love these children and they don't perform, without the knowledge I have, I'd be like my dad, what's the matter with you? Try harder. If only you tried harder, you would do better. But then when I realized through our imaging work is, in fact, the harder they try, the worse it gets. And so what you would think of would be a common sense response to them is actually the worst thing you could do for them.
Dr. Amen, as you talked about that, the brains are under-stimulated. I guess somehow I would think that ADD is about the over-stimulated brain. So maybe just explain a little bit more about that.
So we do a study at our six clinics called Brain SPECT Imaging, and SPECT looks at blood flow and activity, looks at how the brain works. And the classic pattern, and it's been published in the scientific literature, over and over and over. I mean, there are more than 500 imaging studies on ADD. And typically, when people with ADD try to concentrate, they get decreased activity in the front part of their brain. Wow. So what does that mean? Harder they try, the worse it gets. And it's also why stimulant medications tend to work. But there is one type we call the ring of fire, where there's too much activity going on, and giving them a stimulant usually makes them pretty irritable and upset.
We're talking today with Dr. Daniel Amen. He has written the new revised version of Healing ADD, the breakthrough program that allows you to see and heal the seven types of ADDs. A physician, psychiatrist, a best-selling author, and regarded as one of the world's foremost experts in applying brain imaging science to everyday clinical practice, has a number of clinics and has written 30-plus books, and we're honored to have him with us today here on Connecting Faith. We're talking about ADD, and we'll continue with more in just a moment. Talking today on Connecting Faith about ADD and about the hope and help that's available with Dr. Daniel Amen, physician, psychiatrist, and author. The book we're referencing is an updated version of Healing ADD. It's the all-new revised edition, and it's the breakthrough program that allows you to see and heal the seven types of ADD. Dr. Amen has a number of clinics. He's a noted authority in the area of using brain imaging science to everyday clinical practice, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But in the last segment, Dr. Amen, you talked a little bit about there's seven different sort of types of ADD. Let's just talk about those to kind of explain maybe the progression or transition.
So doctors have been talking about for decades that there are really two major types of ADD, ADHD, people who are hyperactive, restless, impulsive, can't concentrate, and inattentive ADD, where they have the problems with attention and organization, procrastination, but they're never really very hyperactive or impulsive. So that's been known. When we started our brain imaging work, we went, oh, there's more. And so the seven types, the first one we call classic ADD, so what most people call ADHD, short attention span, distractibility, disorganization, hyperactivity, and impulsivity. And it happens over a long period of time, so it's just not after you gave your child an orange soda and they're reacted to the red dye and to the sugar. It's something you can see consistently over time. Type 2 is inattentive ADD, often spacey, tend to be often low motivated, and can't focus. The third type, and this was really interesting for me because one of my research projects was on children and grandchildren of alcoholics. So if you have alcohol in your family, they tend to have type 3, which is what I call over-focused ADD. So the problem is not so much they can't pay attention, it's they can't shift their attention. So they can look rigid and flexible, and if things don't go their way, they get upset, plus the hallmark symptoms of ADD. Type 4 was really interesting, and as a child psychiatrist, I was seeing a lot of aggressive kids who also had learning disabilities, and so I called this type temporal lobe ADD, where they have all the ADD symptoms, plus one of their temporal lobes, it's a specific area of their brain underneath their temples and behind their eyes, it's involved in learning, mood stability, temper control, look like one of their temporal lobes might have been hurt, fell down a flight of stairs, fell off out of a tree, in a car accident, something like that. Type 5 is limbic ADD. That's where ADD and depression tend to go together. Type 6 is the ring of fire. So it was this very common but odd type where the brain was working way too hard and stimulant medications tended to make them worse, but they looked like ADD plus. They're some of our worst ADD kids. And then the new type I talk about in the revised version of Healing ADD is anxious ADD, where they have both symptoms of ADD, plus they can be very anxious, tense, nervous, have trouble speaking in public, freeze on time test. And each of them really have their own symptoms and their own brain findings and their own treatments. And so what I realized is giving everybody who has ADD a stimulant helps some, hurts a lot, is it's really you need to understand the type.
You know, as I was looking through and kind of reviewing those types, it seemed like there was maybe a bit of a dark side to some of the maybe more severe types, which I guess I hadn't really thought about before. But this is not just a this is not just a sort of casual behavior problem, is it, potentially?
It's not. Now, there are degrees. I mean, there are some people who have mild ADD and run big companies. It's actually known that many CEOs have ADD. But there are also much higher incidence of people who have ADD in prison. So, you know, left untreated, it really can cause some big problems.
If my mother has it, had it, does that mean I'll have it too?
If your mother has it and your dad has it, it means you have a very high chance of having it. If your mother has it but your dad doesn't, then, you know, it's about 50 or 60% in our experience.
And is it? It's not just an issue for children, right? That this can affect. You mentioned leading companies. I mean, this is something that can affect. That does it only happen though as a child or come on as a child?
You know, typically, if it's really ADD, you can see symptoms in childhood. Now, a lot of people are not diagnosed, either because their parents didn't believe in ADD or. No one was really paying attention. You know, if you have ADD, you often have an ADD mom or dad, and they may not have been paying attention. And, the classic way ADD adults get diagnosed is they bring their kids for an evaluation. And then the doctor, if he or she is well-trained, will go, okay, where is it coming from? And when I was first in practice, you know, I'd diagnose a child, the child would do much better, the dad was struggling at work, the dad would start taking the child's medication, and all of a sudden sheepishly he's in my office and goes, you know, I think I have this too. And then I got smart, and if I had a child in my office who I thought had ADD, I immediately screened their moms and dads, because it's just not helpful to send a child away with treatment with a dad that can't focus, and so he's spending so much time at work that he can't ever pay attention to his son, or you send them home with a mom who's impulsive or can't focus, and so she's always on her phone and never really paying attention to her child. So it's a family disorder, no question. It's a generational disorder. If you have it, odds are you can see it in your moms and dads. And, you know, one of the neat things about it is when people really understand it and they realize they were raised by somebody who has ADD that perhaps drank too much or was too irritable, they can forgive them because they know more about it, and they don't have to take their negative behavior so personally. So that really deep level of forgiveness I've seen repeatedly, and it's just fascinating.
You mentioned, too, there's often a difference in how boys and girls are affected. Say a little bit more about that.
Well, boys tend to be diagnosed like five times more than girls, but they don't have it five times more than girls. Girls are often underdiagnosed because there are different societal expectations for girls than there are for boys. Still, you know, if a boy's having trouble, everybody gets upset because he's going to have to take care of a family someday. And if a little girl's having trouble, they sort of hope she marries somebody nice. And that sort of mindset, that gender bias mindset, is really a bad thing, because if anything, women do more than men. You know, they're still primary caretakers for the house, primary caretakers for the elderly, primary caretakers for the children, and they work full time out of the house. So, I think we should be thoughtful and diligent in properly diagnosing everybody who has it.
I want to shift to talking a bit about treatment, and maybe as we do that, we sort of touched on that. Oftentimes there's misdiagnosis and probably mistreatment because we don't understand the various types. But maybe just before our break, can you give some general perspective on how treatment's done today and what should be done to improve it?
So 85% of psychiatric medications are prescribed by non-psychiatric physicians. So that's the first big problem. A lot of people who don't really get the complexities or subtleties of ADD are prescribing medication left and right. And most people who get treated for ADD, it's stimulant medication only. It's bad treatment because it often makes people worse. And what I find is first thing you have to know, okay, do you have ADD or is it something else? You know, is it a bad teacher? Is it an environmental problem? For example, if you work in a furniture factory and you're exposed to environmental toxins, it'll totally make you look like you have ADD. Or you've had a head injury, it'll totally make you look like you had ADD. So it's getting the proper diagnosis and then which type do you have? Because stimulants make 5 of the 7 types worse if you start with them. So know your type. And then what we found, the best natural treatments for ADD are intense aerobic exercise and a higher protein, lower simple carbohydrate diet. And so as soon as you really understand that statement, what you realize is our society is making a whole bunch more people ADD because we're feeding them bad food. And with 70% of us overweight, 35% of us obese, we already know that the nutrition, we have a nutritional problem in the United States. And ADD has skyrocketed. Even in the last decade, it's gone up 53%, which is like, how is that possible? But, you know, our diets are getting worse and worse. Even with all the great information about nutrition, they're not getting better. So diet, exercise, fish oil can be really helpful, but not just any fish oil. Fish oil higher in a certain component called EPA. When people go to the store and they look on the label of a fish oil bottle, it'll say, well, how much DHA versus EPA? Those are two components of fish oil, and DHA has been shown really not to be helpful for most people who have ADD, EPA, much more helpful. So fish oil can be really helpful, a really high-quality multiple vitamin, because things like zinc are associated in making the right neurotransmitters to help people feel good and focus. Those are some simple things, and then it really depends on what type someone has.
Okay. We'll continue more as we talk treatments, talking about Healing ADD, the breakthrough program that allows you to see and heal the 7 types of ADD. And great insight today from Dr. Daniel Amen, who's a physician, double board certified psychiatrist, teacher, and best-selling author, has written dozens of books, and widely regarded as one of the world's foremost experts in applying brain imaging science to everyday clinical practice at a number of clinics around the country, and talking with us today about his new book, Healing ADD. You're listening to Connecting Faith.
It's not just information, it's transformation.
I love Faith Radio because it is very uplifting and it allows me to become closer to God because God is speaking through these people. If I have a good day, it makes me thankful that I know God and I can worship and praise Him. If I'm having a bad day, I have faith that God will help me.
Connecting faith to life every day. Thanks for listening to Faith Radio.
At Northwestern, your student gets even more than a first-rate education. They get first-rate community. Discover what makes Northwestern life so special at Spring Preview Days, March 28th, April 4th, or April 11th. It's a full day for your student to visit a class, meet other students, eat the food, talk with professors, and feel just a bit of what Christ-like community is really all about. Visit unwsp.edu/visit for more. University of Northwestern, St. Paul.
Well, today in Connecting Faith, we've connected with Dr. Daniel Amen. We visited with him several months ago as one of the co-authors of the Daniel Plan, written with Rick Warren. And Dr. Amen is one of the noted leaders, experts in applying brain imaging science to everyday clinical practice. He's a physician, a psychiatrist, an author, and with us today to talk about his new book, Healing ADD, the breakthrough program that allows you to see and heal the 7 types of ADD. And we've been talking a little bit about just some of the areas of treatment, and I'm interested, maybe before we get back to treatment, I know one of the things that you address is issues like, you know, falling off your bike when you're a kid, or maybe a car accident, or perhaps even the you know, football concussions. Let's talk about, are there some actual sort of causes of brain injury causes that bring on ADD?
You know, I almost added an 8th type. And it would have been called head trauma-induced ADD because it's so common. There's a whole chapter in the book on head trauma. its impact on the brain, making people look like they have ADD. Amen Clinics did the world's largest study on active and retired NFL players. And, you know, the NFL had its concussion committee for 15 years but never did a brain imaging study. And if you never look, you can totally be in denial that you have a problem. But there's clear evidence that playing contact sports like football and soccer and hockey, even cheerleading because of the level of brain injuries, are damaging to the brain and can make you give you lifelong ADD-like symptoms. And if you have ADD, you're more impulsive, which means you're more likely to make bad decisions, and you're more likely to get a brain injury as well. So it can sort of go both ways. But the brain is really soft, about the consistency of soft butter. Your skull is really hard and has many sharp bony ridges. So if people just understood the anatomy of the brain and the physics inside your skull, there's no way that a thoughtful person would ever let their child play tackle football or hit a soccer ball with their head or let their girl be a flyer in cheerleading or do dangerous gymnastic routines, because your brain is not finished developing until you're 25 years old. Why would you ever take this most precious organ that makes you who you are, that's the organ of loving, learning, behaving, and subject it to damage? It's just not smart. And helmets protect you from skull fractures. They do not protect you from brain damage.
You call it, you talk about brain envy. That's a good word. Explain a little bit more about that.
Well, you know, if you love and care for your brain, you're going to be happier, physically healthier, you're going to have more money, and you're going to be more successful, because ultimately you make better decisions. And what's the organ of decision making? It's that 3 pounds of fat between your ears. It's your brain.
You we talked a little bit about treatment, just some kind of general treatments. Nutrition and exercise, I think we probably don't realize how vital they are and how they can actually make a significant difference.
Well, I talk about a study in Healing ADD from Holland. They actually replicated it. That when we put kids on really healthy diets, I mean, we eliminate all the bad things and we really pile on the good things for them to eat. 73% of them had more than a 50% reduction in their symptoms. The same response as if they had taken Ritalin. But there are no side effects to eating well. In our public television special, we have two great new programs that come with it. One is called Healing ADD at Home in 30 Days. In fact, if people go to healingaddin30days.com, they can learn more about it. There are like 5 videos on how to feed kids and adults who have ADD. And my wife, Tana, some people have seen my public television specials. She and I often do them together, and she's just amazing. She wrote a brand new cookbook called Healing ADD Through Food. It is so important. If you want to get the fastest result in healing ADD, first things to do is change your food. It can have that kind of dramatic difference.
You also talk about that, I mean, suggested we can actually sort of train our brain to maybe some counteract at least some of the influence of ADD. Talk a little bit about how that works, or if it does
well,
work.
There's a whole school of thought. In fact, it's actually what got me involved in imaging to begin with 25 years ago, which is that you can put electrodes on your scalp, measure the brain waves patterns in your brain, and then teach people to change it. It's actually the American Academy of Pediatrics just gave it high levels of evidence to help with kids who have ADD. I was really excited to see that. It just gives people more options on what they can do to help it. Now, in my mind, first thing is get your diet right, get your exercise right, get your nutrients right, see what happens. And if that doesn't work, so more, then the next step would be more targeted supplements or neurofeedback. And then if those things don't work, then think about medication. But if you see the sort of progression of how I talk about it in Healing ADD, because that's how I treat my patients. I was paying attention in the first year of medical school when they said, first, do no harm. Use the least toxic, most effective treatments. And what most people don't know is somebody puts you on a psychiatric medication, it's now negatively affected your insurability. It's harder to get not only health insurance, but life insurance, long-term care insurance, disability insurance, because people see you as having a psychiatric problem. There's still that sort of stigma. And let's just try the natural things first.
I guess the one of the ways that you probably can help in the home would be to limit media and some, you know, video games and all those things, which probably aren't helpful for us in general anyway.
It's definitely not, and it's making us more ADD because it's wearing out its pleasure centers. So there's a very interesting area deep in the brain called the nucleus accumbens, and it's responsive to dopamine, that neurotransmitter we think is involved in ADD. And every time you get sort of a big burst of pleasure, I see my grandchildren, for example, that, you know, works on that part of the brain. But if you push on that too much or too often, it can actually wear it out. So the kids who are constantly playing games on their phone, constantly looking for the next email or text, it's wearing it out and making it more likely they won't be able to pay attention.
You know, speaking of playing games, I want to go back because a little bit earlier you were talking about there's kids often sort of, you know, play these games. And do the kids that, you know, are playing the games, do they want to do that, or do they, does that just sort of happen? Do they realize they're doing it, or is that just the way their brain is kind of wired?
Completely unconscious. They have no idea that they're doing it. It's Pavlovian. So for those people who remember, you know, high school psychology or college psychology, Pavlov would get the dogs to salivate just by ringing a bell every time he would feed them. And then pretty soon, ringing the bell, they would salivate in anticipation of the reaction. No clue it was happening. It wasn't conscious. It was completely unconscious. Getting your mom to yell at you, hit you, spank you, they have no idea why they're doing that. And they hate it emotionally. If you ask them, do you wake up and plan to get your mom mad at you? Do you wake up and plan to make your mother cry? They'll always say no. But they do it. And so, you know, in my office sometimes I'll play with them and I'll go, do you wake up and plan to make her mad at you? And they'll go, no. And I'm like, well, then why do you do it? And they're like, I don't know. And the truth is they don't know, because it is not will-driven behavior. It is brain-driven behavior.
So is there any advice that you give to parents to, you know, to help mom not sort of get caught up in the getting mad cycle?
Well, one, stop yelling at them. Don't hit them. You have to realize that you do not want to be your child's medication. And so, you know, one of the first things I tell people, and talk a lot about it in the book, there's a whole section on parenting ADD kids in the book, is no yelling. No yelling, no hitting. And when you stop, the kids are going to get worse for 2 or 3 weeks because they're like, wait, I know I can make you yell. I know I can make you make me feel better. they get worse. And but if you persist, firm and kind, soft voice, it makes such a huge positive difference for them.
One of the last chapters in the book got focused on what do you do when treatment doesn't work. Just say a word about those hard cases.
Well, you know, at the Amen Clinics, on average, people come to see us have 4.2 diagnoses. They failed 3.3 people and 6 medications. So we see complicated people. And we realize that there are a lot of other things that can be interfering. For example, if you have Lyme disease, which is rampant, epidemic almost in the U.S. now. You can look like you have ADD, but it's not getting better with simple things. If you've been exposed to an environmental toxin, if you've had a brain injury, that's where the brain SPECT imaging work we do is just so helpful. Because I always say, how do you know unless you look? It is just absolutely essential to look at the brain in complicated cases.
And just the book is full of diagrams and illustrations of actual, basically real scans, which is pretty fascinating. I mean, it's pretty clear when you look at the pictures, you can see kind of the before and after, how truly impacted the brain is.
It is amazing how much better it can be.
Yeah. Has the because of all the new brain research, is this just the one area where we hopefully will see better diagnosis and treatment simply because we have better access? I mean, you talked about you've been doing this for dozens of years. I mean, there's so many more scans and studies to be able to evaluate.
Well, you know, we've learned so much, but I know there is so much more to do and to learn. And we're just excited every day to try to make people's lives better. That's what really gets us up in the morning.
Maybe just a final word here before I wrap up, some encouragement for the mom or dad, or maybe maybe it's a young adult or even adult. It's, I think I've had this and maybe not been diagnosed, or I just... treatment doesn't seem to be working for me. What encouragement would you give today?
There's hope, but just don't reach for the simple answers. Oh, here, I'll take this medication, when it really involves, you know, the best treatment is a comprehensive approach that involves brain envy, avoiding things that hurt your brain, doing things that help it, can make a radical difference. Tana and I planted our brain health program into one of the largest drug treatment programs in America. And people in that program just had rampant ADD. And through exercise, changing their diet, teaching them to think in really healthy ways, just nearly everyone would go, my energy is better, my focus is better.
Well, good insight from Dr. Daniel Amen today, physician, psychiatrist, and author, talking about the book Healing ADD, the breakthrough program that allows you to see and heal the 7 types of ADD. You can find out more about their work at amenclinics.com. Appreciate your encouragement today and your insight to Dr. Daniel Amen joining us today on Connecting Faith. Dr. Amen, thank you again.
Thanks, Neil. Take care.